Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, welcome to Anthony's Fantasy Podcast, episode 40. I'm your host, Peter, and I'm joined this week by Tom and Gunnar, our usual. How are you doing, guys? Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks for asking. Gunnar, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you.
And we've got a special guest this week. If you've seen our Twitter page, we have got Heskybo_ASN, or at FPL Heskybo, who is going to tell us all about Elite Sering, which is, if you guys didn't know, the Norwegian version of fantasy football. How are you doing, Heskybo?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. We're looking forward to this because we'll just cover it quickly. We think there will be quite a lot of players who play the Scottish game who, when this season finishes, might be twiddling their thumbs. If they play FPL, that stopped as well. So this game does take us over the summer, I believe, didn't it? What's the end date of the Norwegian season?
I'm not sure for this year because it was pushed back at the start. It's normally around November time that the season finishes.
Right, so this is going to take you all the way through the summer. So if you're looking for something to do, keep your fantasy juices flowing, the Norwegian football one will keep you going from... Because this game finishes in 4 weeks, Tom, doesn't it? End of May, or the week before, because the Scottish Cup.
Yep.
This will be over. So this kicks in at the start of May. 10th of May, I believe, is the kickoff. Is that right? Is that 7th of May, 10th of May?
I think game one's the 8th of May.
You go that weekend. So that would keep us going all the way through until the season starts again. But before we get to all the good stuff with the Norwegian fantasy football, we'll go through a couple of things with the Scottish game and ask how Heskybo got on with that first. So I'll start, then I'll hand over to Gunnar and Tom, and we'll go around a wee kind of circle. So, Heskybo, how did you find the first season playing it, and how did you get into it to start off with?
I've enjoyed the season. I played it a little bit different to how I play FPL. So FPL, I'll study my moves. I'll be thinking about it quite a lot in the week, looking at stats and stuff. With the Scottish one, I've played it like I used to play FPL before I got that into it. So I'd open the app on the morning of the games and have a look at who I've got a problem with, make a quick transfer. And it's quite refreshing to play a game like that. I first got into it at the start of the season. I do the Planet FPL Patreon. They and a few of the lads in there were playing, and I put a link to it, said this is going on, who wants in? And because there was some chat around it, I thought, well, I'll give that a go. I hadn't watched a lot of Scottish footy before that, so it was a learning experience, figuring out who the key players were. But it's been good fun. I've enjoyed it. I feel like I enjoy Scottish football more now. It's something that I'm a bit invested into, which is a good thing.
Good. One more question for everyone. So did you have a soft spot for any Scottish team or player getting into this season? And if you didn't, do you have one now?
Well, that's a good question. My granddad was a Celtic fan, so that's where my loyalties would be. But in a very kind of passive way, I've never been to a game or anything like that. I don't know if there's anyone who's really jumped out at me this season as a... I've got more affection for them. Probably still would say Celtic are my Scottish team, and despite it not being a great season for them.
Okay, Gunnar, any questions to ask?
Hey, for a half answer there already, I was going to ask if you watched a lot of Scottish football before, but have you started watching more Scottish games than now since you started playing?
Not really, and that's mainly because there's been so much English footy on TV. Like now they're showing every single game. I'm a little bit burned out on watching live footy. The number of games that I'm watching per weekend has kind of dwindled over the season. near the start, I was watching a lot of them. Now I probably watch one or two a weekend. So I haven't found myself tuning into anything else, Scottish football. I haven't watched any European football or Championship or anything like that. I've been kind of wanting a bit of a break from the amount that's out there.
Yeah, I totally get it. It's similar for me. I watch a lot of football, English and Scottish, when we first started with the season, and dampered down a little bit. And then, so I'm basically started watching Scottish football now a little bit. What are your thoughts on the split in the league, in the Scottish league?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most interesting features of it. I kind of get why it happens. It gives the competitive end to the season for the relegation places and European places and stuff like that. It means that teams are playing their direct rivals, and I kind of like that. And for fantasy, I kind of like it as well, because it brings some very different questions to the table, like players who you might have overlooked initially. If they just kind of miss the cut for the top half, and you now know they're playing all the worst teams, suddenly they come into contention again. So, I think it's a good thing, and a nice little quirk of the league.
Yeah, I agree. Like for me, usually only watching the English football and a bit of German football. It was new as well this season, having a league with a split. And I agree, like you say, it just makes it a little bit more interesting, like the running towards the end of the season. Sound? You, Tom?
I was going to ask, how did you find it compared to other fantasy games, and will you play it again next season?
I think the biggest difference for me was the not being able to roll a transfer. Like, that really threw me early on. Like, having to look at my team, I think I'm basically happy with it, but I want to force this through just because I've got to do something. And to restructure the squad, it's hard. Like, if you've got say you've got two Rangers defenders and one midfielder, you want to go to triple defence. You can't just like roll a transfer and do it in one go. You're either taking a hit or you're going a week with only two of them. So, I mean, I would like it to be that you can roll a transfer, but then I don't want it to just blend into every other game. It's nice that it's got its own character. Quite like the bench trick as well. That's just a little unique thing about it as well, which is good fun. The other part. Will I play next season? Yeah, I'm planning on. I feel now I've learnt the league a bit. Now I'm invested in it. The barrier to entry isn't really there. So yeah, I'll definitely go again next season.
Brilliant.
Any else, Tom?
No, that's me.
Good. Plus next year you'll have Hearts back in the league, so a lot more juicier ties. We're a team that normally does finish top six, normally. So. Could give us if they get kind of rolling properly, they could be another team that should be up there and maybe get more chance assets, but that's a big if, perhaps. Right, we'll move on then to the Norwegian fantasy football. Hey, Squiss, will you come alive, because we haven't got a clue here. So, do you want to go through general tips and then we can hit you with questions? Just if we're all new to this game, so any of the save straight away, you're building a team, what teams to attack. What teams to avoid. And what I did notice was, and I might probably start with the best thing, I've seen that there's blank weeks straight away.
Yeah. Basically, the situation in Norway is they're a lot different to the British government on COVID stuff. Like, it seems like in Britain, they really want to make elite sport an exception and get it to happen pretty much no matter what. In Norway, that isn't the case. Like, when stuff shuts down, sport shuts down. And they've done a regional thing. And so what it's meant is that some parts of Norway have only a week ago started being able to train and starting to have a pre-season. And so those clubs have kicked off a bit and said, well, it's not really fair, is it, that all these other clubs have been training for ages. They'll be all fit to go for the start of the season. And you want us to jump in. And the league agreed. So they've staggered the start of the season. And you've got the first two game weeks are going to be a blank for a bunch of the teams to give them that longer pre-season. And then those fixtures will be caught up later on in the season. So you're left with eight teams who play in both game week one and game week two. So I think this probably helps for beginner players, because you can kind of bin off half the league and you only need to look at a few teams to put your team together. from. And it also helps that the four teams that most people think will be challenging for the title, they all play in those first 2 weeks. So the teams you're after are Molde, Bodø/Glimt, Vålerenga and Rosenborg. If you build a team mainly out of those players and then a scattering of the other teams that are in those first couple of weeks, you can't go wrong. You'll have solid players there. And a lot of them teams also have a double game week in. I think it's game week 7 for some of them, or game week 3 for...
3 for Rosenborg, yep. I've seen that.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're just building on those teams, that should get you going. And then in time, you can pick up some from the teams that have blanked. But no one who blanks is that important to have to start with. So, yeah.
Just as a side to that, I noticed Brann, is the other team in the double game week? Are they worth taking a point to start off with or avoid?
I would avoid it because in Brann's first 5 games, they play all 4 of the title contenders. Like their double game week is horrible. It's 2 away games against Rosenborg and Molde. And so I'm just expecting that they will do nothing. Like if you get the defenders, you might be on minus points by the time the
double finish. Still be tempted then, right? They'll scrub that out then.
I wouldn't. I mean, you can maybe go with one, but I don't have any in my team at the moment, and I think it's unlikely that I will. Viking are worth a look. They've got a nice run to start with.
We're writing these notes as we go along here. This is
yeah.
It's interesting, like Peter saying, like we know nothing about the league, and then he's firing out, there's going to be blanks and doubles, and he knows.
I'm using all of the chat because it's in. As Hespo's got a chat, I've added these two guys just this evening. So I noticed there was I believe it's the same guy. Is it Whitebeard who does the chat manager data stuff as well? Is that right, Hespo? Yep.
I think Whitebeard plays definitely. There's a few people who are doing like fixture tickers and stuff. I tweeted one from Statsloth, who's a good follower.
It's up. Sorry, that's my mistake. But I just went through that, and obviously straight away, like you said, it stands out a lot sore from the blank game weeks and who's playing the double game weeks. So the two obviously was Rosenborg and Brann straight away. I knew Rosenborg would be one of the better teams. I just wasn't too sure about Brann, but you've answered that question. Yeah. Avoid.
Yeah, they're a mid-table team, but just the fixtures are
horrible start.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, any questions?
So obviously, if we're keeping things current, obviously the English League has a traditional top 6, or perhaps not for much longer. the 4 teams that you mentioned there, are they the sort of traditional top 4, and would you target those teams throughout the entire season?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're the traditional top 4. Bodø/Glimt are quite a new addition to it. They won it last year. They were second the year before. But that year they were second. They were kind of an out-of-nowhere challenger. But last year they were incredible. Like they won the league by a huge margin. I think it's got over 100 goals in 30 games. Really worse standout last season. But the Norwegian league, probably even more so than the Scottish league, is a selling league. Like anyone who does vaguely well will be off. So a lot of that squad that was so good for them has now moved on, been disassembled a bit. And so it's a question. Like the manager's great. He's got a good system. He already, before the end of the season, had brought some replacements in. But will they do the same thing? I don't know if they will or not. Rosenborg, I think they're the biggest club in Norway, kind of a traditional powerhouse of the game. Molde over the last 10 years or so, the most successful team. It'd be a surprise if those two weren't up there. Vålerenga are a big club. They're an Oslo-based club, and they have spent well. They've bought some great players. They remind me a lot of Chelsea at the start of this previous season. So they've brought in a lot of guys who are clearly quality, but there's still question marks of how will they all fit together? Will it gel? Will it work for them? But if it does come off, they could be a real tip to do well. So most people, I did a community predictions league where I just got everybody to put their predicted final league table. And we had 20 entrants to it, and 19 had those 4 teams in some order or other as the top 4 in their table. So the expectation would be there'd be a gulf under them lot before you get to the other teams.
You know, Sam?
Obviously, this season, if we're keeping with the comparisons, West Ham are doing surprisingly well. Have you got any dark horses? Are you going to back this season?
I've got a good feeling for Stabæk, but that's my own hunch. That's not something that, like in the predicted tables that people were doing, not many were putting them up there, but I think they might be the best of the rest. They've got good young players at the club, so keep an eye on them. But they're one of the teams that blank in the first 2 weeks, so you can wait and see. But yeah, they'd be my little outsider.
Good, are you getting the ask?
First thing I want to say is like Bodø/Glimt. The first time I've heard of them was that's one for the Football Manager heads here. Tony Jameson, he's done Football Manager, Ruined My Life, the stand-up show. And I think he's done a Bodø/Glimt Football Manager save that you can watch on YouTube. I seen that. That was my first entry into Norwegian football, I think. And I was going to ask you, maybe in regards to how the scoring of the game is and onto bonus points as well. So what I want to get to is what is the best formation? Because like we see in a Scottish game, it's basically it's best you play five at the back because you get the most regular points from like from keeping clean sheets. So how is that in the Norwegian game?
It's very different in the Norwegian game. Clean sheets are not very reliable. The most any team got last season was 10 in a 30-game season. So like this year in Scotland, Rangers have just been such almost a guarantee for a clean sheet, like most weeks. It's not the case in Norway. So you don't get that many points from your defenders. You want to play three at the back, really.
Right.
3-5-2 or 3-4-3, I don't think it makes much odds. A lot of Norwegian teams play a 4-3-3 formation, kind of thing, Liverpool style. And so whether you want the number nines or whether you're picking sort of the wide forwards or the attacking mids, if you've got seven good attacking players in your team, that's the way to build it and get the points. Bonus points work in the game is it's the same as FPL, but they don't have an algorithm for it. It's the Eurosport commentator will just pick, I thought these were the best three players, and this one gets 3 points, this one gets two, this one gets one. Which most of the time they're pretty good with. Sometimes you get really left field ones and you wonder if it's just someone they've got in their own team or something.
Yes.
But you do get certain players who are good on the eye will just pick it up all the time. So like your Rafinha type of player, whenever he plays, he catches the eye. And there'll be equivalents of that in Norway. So you can predict who's going to get bonus points a lot more easily.
Right. So but that basically confirms then like your fifth defender can basically just be a make weight to save money there and like put the funds into your attackers. Huh?
Yeah, I would do that. I think there's a couple of good looking 6 million defenders in the game. I'll probably buy them, but then the other three slots I'll probably take a couple of 4.5 so I can rotate and then write one of them off with just a 4 million.
Right.
For the end of the bench.
And another thing, like how often are they playing in Norway? Is it just once a weekend, just once a week they're playing, or is it like in England where they play twice a week?
It would typically be once a week. What's happened this season, they delayed the start by a month. So they've got a bit of catch up to do. And there's quite a lot of double game weeks for random teams. So there'll be plenty of weeks where it's a weekend midweek for somebody's schedule. But by and large, it's a once a week league.
Right.
And then things like cup games or European games and stuff like that fills the gaps.
See, that's the angle where I'm coming from, because see, if you look at the English teams, for example, you're going, oh, Chelsea are playing in the Champions League. They might prioritize in front of the league games to play. And how is it in Norway? Like, are they aware of, probably, to be fair, their slim chances that they have in the European competitions? Would they rather prefer than the league games, or would they rest the players for Champions League European games? How are they handling that?
Yeah, the European games are the priority. That's where the money is.
Right.
So this last season, Molde got through to the knockout stages of the Europa League, which is the first time in 20 years that a Norwegian team's got through to a European knockout stage. But by doing that, they've had big games against... they beat Hoffenheim, they lost to Granada, they had Arsenal in the group stage, and all of these are the money spinner games for them. So around the time of those games, we were finding that their best players were playing in Europe and they were playing a weakened side, or they were taking the stars off after 60 minutes or so in the league games. They were the only ones really who did it. Bodø/Glimt, they lost in the qualifiers, the last qualifier of the Europa League. They lost 3-2 to AC Milan, which is some result to come so close to Milan. But they just played their strongest team in both league and Europe.
I
was going to ask, obviously, Peter, there's just... surprises with his knowledge of double game weeks, and when you play FPL, there's obviously you get the, well, not this season, but typically you get the doubles towards the end of the season, and everyone saves their chips till then and plays them. But we're hearing that there's a lot of double game weeks at the start. Is there a predictable way to play your chips? Is it at the start of the season? Or?
This season I think it'll be the start. So what they've done with the cup, they're going to play the later rounds of the cup in the spring of next year. So they've taken the pressure off of having doubles caused by the cup. So the only reasons for doubles and blanks are this kind of delayed start to the season. And then a few of the teams who are in Europe have had a game cleared just before it to let them properly prepare for it. But all of that's in the calendar, we can see. And between game week 1 and 16, all the blanks and doubles play out. And then there's nothing that we're expecting after that. Now, there could be like a COVID cancellation or, weather comes into play as well. Like some of the teams are up in the Arctic Circle. So you always get the odd one, but most of the carnage will be done in the first half of the season. I did an episode yesterday on chip strategy, but I think the basic thing that you want to do is, because there's a double in game week 7 with a lot of the same teams who play in game weeks 1 and 2, if you build a team with some of those players in, you use a chip in round 7, which could be your attack chip, which is where all three of your strikers act as your captain for that week. And then game week 13 and 14, back-to-back doubles for the other teams who won't have doubled in game week 7 and won't have played in game weeks 1 and 2. So between game week 7 and game week 13, you want to completely change your team. So it's got the other players in it, which a wild card comes in pretty handy for. You can do it by just manoeuvring your way with transfers, or you can drop the wild card in game week 12, 13, something like that. Get your team set for those back-to-back doubles, and then you'll get your second wild card by game week 16. So playing your second one could then set your team back to normal, because the teams in game week 13 and 14 who double are not great teams. It's like filling your team with a lot of mid-table and bottom half players. So you probably want an escape route from that, which your second wild card might be. So that's the kind of strategy that I think is the easiest one to go on, is a wild card in game week 12 or 13, another wild card in game week 16, and then probably an attack. Maybe Rich Uncle, if you prefer it, which is like an unlimited budget free hit, could be a good one for game week 7 as another option. And then the other chip you've got is a 2 captains. And that works quite well just on a double game week where you've only got 1 or 2 teams doubling. You don't need it to be a big double to use that. So I had my own game at 9 where Bodø/Glimt have got a nice double with 2 home games. So I'll probably use that one then.
And you're saying about Rich Uncle chip, that's unlimited budget. I noticed there's a few sort of what we'd probably class as sort of premium assets, sort of double digit figures for prices. How many sort of premiums should we be targeting?
Yeah, that's a difficult question, because for the start of the season, the teams that we're picking from tend to be the expensive teams. So it'll be harder to find the enablers to go with it. I think in a normal season, we probably have three premium assets and then a couple of mid-priced ones and a few cheaper ones that emerge. And if you had three from different ones of the big four, so if you had like a Mulder player, a Bodeglimt player and a Vålerenga player, for example, that covers your captaincy most weeks, depending on who's got the best fixture. So that definitely works. The other thing about this league, though, that it's very unpredictable who the best players are going to be. Like both seasons that I've played it, you've had people come out of nowhere who cost 5 million, 6 million. They're in the reserves at the start of the season. And then by the end of the season, they're a regular starter, getting goal and assist every week and you're captaining them. But the price doesn't end up that high because of how low it started. So the best assets by game week 10 probably won't be the guys who we're thinking of as premiums now. It's just at the start of the season. Obviously, we've got no idea who the guys who emerge will be. So you go with the more tried and tested expensive ones.
Nice.
You know something, I was going to ask that question there, Heskimo, about the budget and the premiums yourself. I think I heard you say on your own podcast about come the end of the game, if you follow the template, that basically you won't have to worry about money, you'll have that much money in the account because, just as you mentioned, these guys coming through, who will be that cheap, whoever be having their team. So it'll be a case of, how does the price rises work? And template-wise, how do you differentiate at the end then if everybody's on the same players? How does it work in this game specifically?
Yeah, I mean, the price rises is exactly the same as FPL. Well, the game was designed by the same people that made FPL, so most of the rules and mechanisms are exactly the same. How do you differentiate? That's a really hard question, because most of the time when people try and deviate from it, they end up just getting bitten and falling behind. Like, it really... That's one of the bits at the end of the season where you look at everyone's team and there's eight or nine players the same. Captaincy is a big one, how you differentiate. And you do get quite a lot of moments where you've got this template of players, a lot of whom have had big price rises. And then let's say someone gets injured for a couple of weeks. That's a moment then to really decide what you're going to do. Are you going to hold them and hold the value in them, but have a worse team? Or do you jump off them, invest in someone else for a bit? Those kind of decisions are where people diverge a little bit. And that's where, if you can play that well, and if you can play the chips well, and also the template does change as the season goes on. It's not that you just get your team set to a template team and leave it. It does evolve. And if you can just be one step ahead of everyone else, you'll probably end up in two game weeks' time, they'll all have the same team as you. But if you get there first, you've got a couple of weeks of those extra new template players to yourself. And so it's just kind of anticipating that. But it's a judgment call, because if I'm going to leave my current template player to go for who I think the next template player guy is, if I've got that wrong, then I'm going to lose out to the people who've stuck with the current one. So that's really the art of it in this game, which probably is fairly similar to a lot of fantasy games. But in Norway, I think that one really is kind of accentuated and becomes quite a strong template thing. So those moves are quite key to get right.
So brings up the next point then, a form. See, especially in the FPL, some people will have to come up with a question, he won't keep that up. He can't keep that form up. But is it similar in Norway, or do you suggest if a player hits form, jump on him?
Yeah, I mean, in FPL, I'm definitely one of the people who I'm not that into form. I tend to look at, is it a good player? And do they have good fixtures? And if those two things come together, it doesn't matter to me if they've had a few weeks where they've not scored, as long as they've been playing well and I know what they're about as a player. But I think in Norway, what happens that's different is you get players who are just better than the league that emerge. So the year before I played was Haaland's breakout season. And when you get a player like that coming through, it's not so much a question of will he keep this up. It's just like, here's a guy who just levels above everyone else. You've just got to get him and have him, because he's going to smash up all of these teams. And then last season, we had a guy called JP Hauger, who got his transfer to AC Milan midway through the season. And again, he's playing at a top Serie A level, but in a league that's probably equivalent to League One or maybe lower championship level. He's really kind of playing above the level. So you've just got to get these players who are better than everyone else. Because if you don't, they will keep punishing you. And yeah, they'll make you pay if you ignore the quality that's there.
I mean, those kind of players probably stand out to you then anyway. If they're playing at Serie A level in the Norwegian league, then probably stand out like a sore thumb. But do you get to watch a lot of Elite Serien then, or...?
I try. So Eurosport was showing some games at the start of last season, and I'm not sure if the viewers weren't high enough for them, but as the season went on, it was fewer and fewer games. But they do put on the Elitserien's own website, they put like a 3-minute highlight package from each game. So it's not like watching whole games, but it's a little bit to watch. So I remember watching some of those with another tab open with the squad number list for the teams. It's like, because the commentary is all in Norwegian, which I don't speak, and they didn't even have names on the shirts, like necessarily, it's just numbers. So working out, oh, that player looks good. Right, who is it? And that kind of thing. But there are those highlight packages available. So I try and watch what I can.
Yeah, similar to what I do with the Scottish game as well. There's no commentary on the Scottish games either on the YouTube channel, so I'm sitting there with my app open.
That's why you hate getting onto the YouTube thing.
Yeah. But do you have like a source for stats on the Norwegian league as well that you fall back on?
Yeah, there are some. I find SofaScore is really good for it. You don't get the like XG or anything as advanced as that. But what they do that I like, they give you the heat maps and the average position. So I was looking at it in my first season, and I clicked on Mulder in one game, and I noticed that on the average position, their most advanced player had been their left back. Like, he was playing more advanced than their strikers. And before I saw that, like from the little highlights packages, I'd got no idea that this left back was playing so advanced. And so that led me to buy him in my team, and he did pretty well for me. So that's probably the best one in terms of what it gives. You get all the stuff like shots on target and stuff through it as well. But it is a game compared to like the big leagues that there's a little bit less eye test and a little bit less stats. And it's more a case of what are kind of the obvious things here. It's harder to overthink it, and it's a lot more kind of seeing who are the players who are just obviously doing well, and how do I manoeuvre my team around those players?
Yeah, I like an attacking left back. We all know on the podcast here.
Anything else, girls? That finished question?
No, that's me.
Tom, anything to add to that?
So if we're putting together a draft, is there any players that you'd suggest you need to have in your draft?
I wouldn't say there are any individual players that you need to have, but what I would say is you probably want one expensive Bodø/Glimt player. So that might be Botheim, who's their striker, or it might be Saltnes in midfield. You probably also want one expensive Vålerenga player, Kjartansson, Leuni, or Donham. You probably want one expensive Molde player, and Ekram, or... They've signed a new striker who's young, but who's meant to be brilliant, called Fofana. And if he gets the nailed position, I think he's really underpriced. But it's just a case of monitoring it. Will he get the nod straight away because he's young? And then defenders, there's a guy at Vålerenga called Borchgrevink, who's a really good player. He's good for assists. He's on some set pieces. He also really impresses the commentators, and he gets the bonus points quite a lot. And then at Bodø/Glimt, there's a defender called Bjørken. And the way they played last season, their two wingers would kind of cut in quite a lot. But these two wingers are the guys who they sold, and their replacements are different styles of play. They're wingers who hug the touchline more. And so all the talk is Bjorken, another attacking left-back for you. He's going to kind of come inside more and fill those gaps into the box. So as well as being in one of the top teams defensively, he's looking likely to get a good amount of attacking returns as well. So there'd be some of the names that would be, well, they were the first names in my draft that I was putting together. And yeah, then the rest of the spaces just fill around what you can afford.
Are you, Tom? Right, I think that's all our questions. Have you got anything else you want to tell Hesco we've not covered that you can think of that we've maybe missed out on?
I think you've covered most of the main bases. It's just a good, fun league. I think it's a league with a lot of good community around it. So I've noticed the same's true with the Scottish game. It's just a group of people who love it, who chat about it, and that's the fun of it for me. It's more than just kind of picking my teams and seeing my score, but the community around it is what made me fall in love with this particular league and game. Like 2 years ago, I started it, and I thought I'd probably be leaving my team dead after about game week four. Like I didn't know whether I'd get to grips with it, but the other people who were playing it really kind of made it for me. So yeah, I'd recommend giving it a go and seeing how you get on.
Excellent. If it's okay with you, we will have you back on maybe halfway through the season. You can give us, I don't know, school marks on how we're going on our team, how we're going on.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd love to.
Because we'll start with you, like just the three of us in the league. Well, we can invite you, but you're won that league, no problem. And then we'll see how we go on.
Sounds good. Sounds great.
But have you got a league going for your podcast then, Heskibo?
I do have a league going, yes. And I don't have the code to hand. Just bear with.
Putting you on the spot there.
Yeah, just let me...
You're a steel thunder from Outro, but better, you know, every time.
Yeah, so my league code is C8QF95.
Say that again, C8?
C8QF95.
Right, we'll post it out as well after the pod, so anybody wants to play can join the league.
Perfect.
So we'll finish up and we'll let you get your plugs in. Plug your podcast, your Twitter, anything else you want people to know.
Yeah, so I do a pod called the Beginner Zealotsarian Pod. It's aimed at people who haven't played before. So I'm trying to give the basic things you need to know if it's your first season, which sounds like that is the case for you guys and maybe some of the listeners. I'm on Twitter at Heskibo_ESN. That's an account that I just stick to posting Elitserian stuff mainly. I kind of separated it from my main Twitter at FBL Heskibo, because I knew it's kind of a niche league and not all my followers want that content. So I just separated it off. So follow me on either of those accounts or both. And yeah, thanks guys for giving me the opportunity to share that and for having me on your pod.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. And we hope we get a big uptake on your league and your podcast. And we'll be back on Thursday with our own regular podcast. There's no point in plugging our stuff now. We'll plug it then, because we're rehearsed for the plugs. We'll do it on Thursday. So again, Heskibo, thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for listening. Hope this helped out, and I hope you play the Elite Searing game. Thanks for listening. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.